Whoa, you went no contact with your family? Like, you don't talk to them at all?
Nope,
because they're toxic as fuck. Are you also the villain for walking away from your toxic family in order to preserve your peace? Welcome to the Character Outs podcast, where I am on a mission to normalize going no contact with toxic family. Welcome, all you terrible people. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the Character Outs podcast. My name is Terry, and welcome to another week. How was your week, friend? How was my week, you ask? Good. I don't know where the fucking time is going. I think I said that last episode we were together. I'm like, where the actual fuck is the time going? I have no idea. Okay, so let's see. It was Cinco de Mayo. We had grand plans. My daughter and I had grand plans to celebrate. But we also didn't realize how tired we were going to be. And it's funny because I was tired and she was tired, but she didn't want to let me down and I didn't want to let her down. So we were kind of like, well, I'll rally if you will. Okay, well, and I'm like, no, I'm fucking tired. And she goes like, oh, good, thank God, because I'm tired too. And as we were talking about like what was in our head as far as celebrating Cinco de Mayo, like we thought we would have flamenco skirts on with the ruffles. We thought we would have sombreros, music, margarita flights. When it actually arrived and I went to the attic thinking I had sombreros left over for my husband's birthday party a few years ago, I found one and it had been chewed by a mouse. And I was like, well, here we are. But I had already promised my five-year-old that we would celebrate Cinco de Mayo and that there would be sombreros. So I rapidly had to call Instacart Party City to have some fucking sombreros delivered. So yeah, we were wearing them sadly and not really feeling it. We made a few margaritas and it just made me grouchy. And we ended up chatting and being in bed by 8:30. Yep, that was the extent of our Cinco de Mayo festivities, and it was it was fine. I just also want to say I think one of the dogs pooped down here. It was probably my granddogger, and it just smells like poop down here, and it's really annoying. And I wish I could go light a candle. It's really annoying. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the Character Outs podcast on Instagram. I have some behind the scenes footage. You can see what I actually look like when I record. I don't know if you're going to want to see that, though. It's pretty frightening. But fun behind-the-scenes stuff about my life and things that I wouldn't post publicly. Because, you know, subscribers, you guys are like the crew. You guys are like my crew. So I give you access to all that fun stuff if you're interested. If you're like, Terry, I don't fucking care. I get it. Okay, so I have to tell you guys something that happened on Saturday at a birthday party. And now, let me just set the stage for you. I'm the oldest mom there. I'm the oldest mom, and I wear it like a badge of honor, right? And I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks about me. I'm not there to schmooze or make friends, and I probably honestly come off like a bitch. I probably do. But I am nice. Like, I am nice. Anyway, here's what happened. So it was at this like bouncy trampoline-like park for toddlers, right? So bouncing. I'm watching my kid at all times, obviously. Not that I'm judging any of you who are chatting or, you know, on your phone, whatever. Just anyway, went and had cake and came back for more bouncing. So of course, the 5 seconds that I get on my phone, my son gets hurt. And this woman walks over to me who I thought we had kind of a cordial relationship with. I had seen her at other birthday parties and she'd always been nice. Actually, my son had spit in her daughter's face and I made my son call FaceTime and apologize. Like, I took it very seriously. So that's how we met, with me apologizing, saying, hey, that wasn't nice, blah, 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 because the school didn't say anything. Anyway, I digress. Here's my point. She comes up to me and she like points to my phone. So I see her finger like in my face. And then she throws her finger up, like, and then she goes, he's hurt. Your son is hurt, like that. And I was like, and he was sobbing, like crying crying on the trampoline, crying, sobbing, like, oh my fucking God. So of course I run over there, and this other mom had picked him up and was like, and was carrying him to me. And so I went and met them on the trampoline thing, and I'm holding him, and he does not have a high tolerance for pain. So he was like limp and crying. And so I just get him off the trampoline, and I'm sitting on the floor with him, and he couldn't even sit up. He was like gasping. He was red. He was crying. And my son's not like drama filled. Like anyone looking on could tell he was in pain and he was scared. So he was like, I want water. I want water. So I gave him some water, and I'm just brushing his forehead, and he's crying and he's sweating, and I'm trying to figure out what exactly hurts, if we have to go to the ER, you know. And he's pointing to his little shin, and I'm rubbing it thinking, okay, like, is it broken? Did you snap your tibia? Like, okay, just what hurts? Just trying to get to the bottom of that. So I'm on the floor with him for a good 5 minutes, and he starts calming down, and I look up and I notice that there are two groups of women, all from my son's class, having conversations around me. Not one of them came over to me and said, hey, does your kid need some ice? Hey, is he okay? How about not one of them sat with me and was like, is he okay? Nobody. And I stood up and I held him, and we were leaving, and I walked by the eight fucking mothers who were just standing there, walked by all of them. Not one of them asked, hey, is he okay? Is he all right? Do you guys need anything? Not fucking one. And it's interesting because I think I was embarrassed because I felt like a bad mom at that time, because I'm like, oh, great. Like, sure, my kid fucking falls the second I get on my phone, you know? And my husband and my daughter were like, you know, he would have fallen anyway. The only difference is you would have seen it. But I felt judged. I felt like a bad mom. I felt like I deserved to be handling this with my son all alone because I was a bad mom. Like, that's where I went. And the more I thought about it and the more it settled in my head, I was like, oh my God, had I not been embarrassed, I literally would have been like, fuck all of you. Fuck all of you. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what it is about the people up here. I come from Florida. People in Florida don't give a fuck. They just don't. But I can also tell you this, that I raised my kids in Florida, my first three kids in Florida, and I went to, I don't know, hundreds of birthday parties, and I can fucking tell you right now, there would have been a mom, even my worst enemy, would have come alongside of me and sat with me. Hey, can I get him an ice pack? Would have called over the president or whatever of the bouncing club. Hey, is everything okay? Nobody did anything. Nobody. And I know that you all listening can resonate with the fact that we've handled shit alone. We have to handle shit alone. We've been forced to handle shit alone. But my God, was my hope in humanity totally dashed. And I got in the car and I was shaking, obviously, first and foremost, worried about him. Got on the phone with my husband, like, do I take him to the ER? I don't even know. He seems a little better. And then embarrassed because, like, oh, I'm such a fucking bad mom. Like, you know, I wasn't there for my child and I didn't see him fall, you know. And I'm not a part of the clicky fucking moms. I'm just not. I walked into the party. They all looked me up and down, gave me dirty looks. I fucking care. Like, I don't care. And so I just couldn't believe it. I wouldn't treat my worst fucking enemy like that. If my worst enemy was on the floor with her son, I don't even have a worst enemy, but anyway, if there was somebody I hated, I loathed her, and she was on the floor with her son, and her son was hurt and crying, fuck's sake, I would have fucking done something. I would have sat beside the mom. I would have asked if I could get him fucking ice, like something. And this is, again, where my mind goes, am I that big of a bitch? Or are you that fucking insecure that you can't get past your shit and ask how my kid is doing? Like, which one is it? Or are you just really that fucking terrible of a person? And it just always surprises me. Like, people's lack of fucking character, always. You'd think I'd be used to it now, right? You'd think I'd be used to fucking people being idiots and assholes and terrible people. But man, it just never ceases to amaze me. And that really knocked the wind out of my sails this weekend. Saturday, I came home and I got a migraine, and I just couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
And I tell that story because today on the episode, we're going to be talking about when people say to us, oh, you're the problem, you're the common denominator. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But here's the thing. The sadness slowly turned to anger and fuck you, fuck all of you. And so what did I do on Monday morning? I walked into that fucking school with my nose so far in the fucking air, literally like Cruella de Vil, and literally did not talk to any of the moms, didn't acknowledge any of the moms, was the worst, biggest fucking bitch on the planet. Now, most people, that may have been fine. Most people may be like, sure, you know, my kid's hurt and you didn't do anything. Oh, that's okay. Like, I'll tolerate that. No, I don't. Does that make me the common denominator because I don't tolerate shit? Maybe. Should we even be mad about it? Nope. All right. Other news. Mother's Day anticipation. How are we feeling? How are we feeling? DM me. Email me. I know this can be kind of an up and down feeling for us, right? Because it's like, we know we don't want to text her or call her or celebrate her. And we know why, but then there's guilt. I know some of you have said you've struggled with guilt during this time. Like, wow, I'm really that girl. I'm really not calling my fucking mother. I'm really not doing the right thing. I applaud you. If no one has told you lately, I fucking applaud you for not calling your fucking toxic mother who didn't give a shit about you and threw you away. I'm proud of you. But the guilt is real, especially if you're in contact with, I imagine, other family members who are judging you for it. And especially if you don't have children of your own. I can imagine it's can be maybe a lonely day for you. So I'm sending hugs your way. And I just hope if you don't have children, if you're not doing anything this Mother's Day, you know, just look at it as another fucking day on the calendar. Maybe take it as a self-care day. Do what you want. Eat all the yucky food that you want. Go somewhere special for yourself. Celebrate yourself. Celebrate the fact that you were given a shitty mom, but yet you had the bravery and the power to go no contact with her, and you are bold and you're a badass. And so celebrate you this Mother's Day. So, all right. So on this episode, we're going to talk about, am I the problem? Am I the problem? Am I the common denominator because my whole family hates me? Am I? We're going to talk about it. But first, I'm going to sing a song by Taylor Swift. And guess what? I'm not going to cue up the music. Number one, because I don't feel like it. So my daughter told me about this song. It's an oldie. It's not one of her new ones, but it's new to me. So it's called This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. And I encourage you to listen to it because it really embodies the, you know what? You took advantage. You broke me. You didn't have my best interest at heart. You twist things. And so now you have to leave. So my favorite part, well, is the verses. This is why we can't have nice things, darling. Because you break them, I had to take them away. This is why we can't have nice things. Thanks, baby. Oh, I love it. But I love it. It's like, that. This is why we can't have nice things. Because you fucking break them and I have to take them away. This is why our family can't have us. Because they broke us and then we had to take ourselves away. So fuck you. Okay? But we're going to talk about the whole fucking shit that people say. Oh, your family doesn't like you? Oh, it must be you. You're the problem. Yeah, we're going to talk about that today. So let's get started. So raise your hand if this statement has ever gone through your head. Is it me? Am I the problem? Like literally everyone in my family hates me. Or maybe it's just one family member for you. Maybe it's your sibling. Like really, am I the problem? My own brother hates me. Or am I the problem? My own mother hates me. Or am I the problem? My own father hates me. Has that ever gone through your head? Because I know it's gone through my head. And I know I've verbalized it so many fucking times over the years. So many times I've gone to my husband in tears and I'm like, am I the problem? Am I the common denominator? That's the other thing I would say. Am I the common denominator? Because it seems like I am because everyone in my family hates me. And so it must be me.
right? I stayed in that mindset for so fucking long, so long. And I have to tell you, it was really interesting, the shift that came and when I shifted, which was just recently. And maybe it was a culmination of just getting smacked by my own self, going, are you the problem? Smack. Are you the problem? Smack. And then having society and judgers and everything. Oh, you're the problem. You're probably the problem. You're the problem. You don't talk to your family. You're not, quote, normal. You don't talk to your family. So maybe a combination of that and just building thick skin to it. But I have to tell you a catalyst, though. So I did a reel this week, and it's to Taylor Swift's new song, Thank You, Amy. It's interesting because Amy, if you're a Swiftie, you know the girl she's talking to? That may or may not be my stepmother's name. It may be, it may not be. But I just thought it was interesting. I listened to that song with a different ear, and it was very empowering to me. But what I love about that song is that she starts off with, fuck you, Amy. Fuck you. I'm looking up to the heavens and I'm screaming, fuck you, Amy, while I'm gushing blood because of what you've done to me. But then as it evolves, she says, thank you, Amy. Thank you, Amy. Because I realized I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be the person I am. I wouldn't have the fire in my soul that I do had it not been for you. So thank you, Amy. And isn't that the beautiful conversion and transformation that I think is really where the empowerment on this no contact journey lies? It's being able to say, hey, thanks, thanks. Like, I would have never wanted to go through that, and I don't wish it on my worst enemy. Lots of worst enemy comments in this podcast. I apologize for being redundant. Anyway, but then, like, thanks. Thank you. Because I survived what you intended to kill me. I survived it. So thank you. First, fuck you, because that was so fucking hard and I won't ever forgive you. But now I'm on this side. So thanks. Thank you. Anyway, I created a reel and it's me like holding index cards in front of my face and it says, my mother, get the fuck out. And then I throw the index card. And then it says, my brother, I can't handle her. Throw the index card. My stepmother, punch, you're a piece of shit. Throw the index card. And then my father, my daughter's dead to me. Throw the index card. And then it's broken, no contact, healing. And I struggled with even creating it because it's a lot. Like, who would even believe that any of that would happen, right? And I never like to create reels that are too specific to my story because I want people to be able to resonate with them. The platform is not just about me spewing and talking about myself. It's about creating things that all of us can resonate with, content that all of us can resonate with, right? So I actually contemplated not making it so specific to me and just kind of making it like, oh, something that maybe more people would be able to resonate with. But fuck's sake, you guys, so many of you were like, you just told my story. You just told my story. Oh my God, are we twins? To me, I was just like crying reading the comments because I'm like, are you fucking kidding? So many of us out there have had the same story. So many of us have been cut off by our mothers and our fathers, by our siblings. I was like, whoa, it was so healing for me because I was like, I thought I was the only one who had really this really fucked up story, right? Like we all have our fucked up stories, but I'm like, mine's really, really fucked up. But wow, there's a lot of you out there that have a really, really fucked up story too. So like, cheers. Cheers to you. And then of course come the negative Nellies in the comments, right? So this is my favorite thing about running my own Instagram page. So I used to keep comments on there that were angry and came at me and just argumentative. I'm like, oh, I will save them. Like I will really let them see the light. Fuck that. I don't do that anymore. Because you know what? People are going to roll up into my comments and fucking say something. They don't want to learn. They don't want to understand. They just want to be argumentative and caustic and they're not going to fucking get it ever. So my favorite thing to do is to run across a comment that I don't like on Instagram and I restrict, block, delete. It's my favorite thing to do. I fucking love it because this is my page. I block my own family. I block people I don't fucking like. I'm going to block you on Instagram too. So yeah, and I don't make any apologies for it. My page is not somewhere where you're going to be able to come on and gaslight me, gaslight my community. No, you are not fucking welcome. So anyways, but I took a screenshot of these fucking comments that were rolling in. And I'm just going to share a few with you because they're good. They're jewels. Ready? Here's one. And I bet you're just perfect. Time has a way of changing things. What about this one? I will play the devil's advocate because I saw this with my late sister. Everyone was, quote, toxic except her. Our parents, our siblings, her three husbands, her children, her coworkers, her boss, with the exception of three friends, everybody else was toxic or a narcissist. Sometimes you have to stop and ask what the common denominator is in these relationships. When everybody else is wrong except for you, maybe you are the problem. I also had several people say, oh, looks to me like you're the common denominator. Or someone say, wait, you mean to tell me everyone in your life is toxic? You mean to tell me that people did this to you? That everyone did this to you? What did you do? There's two sides to every story. Oh, fucking exhausting. But here's what chaps my ass the most. These fucking people that come on and say things like, and it's always the same two things, right? It's always, you're the problem, or you're the common denominator. Guess what, Sharon? I was asking myself those questions before you fucking accused me of being the problem or the common denominator, okay? Like, bitch, I have been thinking I'm the problem my entire fucking life. And I've been thinking I'm the problem ever since I went no contact. Bitch, do you think I can wrap my head around the fact that I have a completely fucked up toxic family? Do you think I don't cry and say, am I the common denominator? Is it me? So I thought, okay, problem. Am I the problem? Well, let's define problem, shall we? Let's just do a quick little Google search and define the word problem. The definition of problem is a matter or situation regarded as unwelcome or harmful and needing to be dealt with and overcome. You know what, Susan? You're right. According to my toxic family, I am the problem. I am a matter or a situation regarded as unwelcome, harmful, and needing to be dealt with and overcome. But why? Why? Because I don't take their shit? Because I call them out on their manipulative, toxic ways? Because I don't allow them to have access to my children because they're toxic and I'm breaking toxic generational cycles and don't want them to manipulate them? Because I don't accept toxic, abusive emotional behavior anymore? Because I'm not the scapegoat anymore? Because I've totally fucked up their toxic system because it's embarrassing for them when they say, wait, you have a daughter? Oh, well, and they have to come up with something quick to say because I don't fucking talk to any of them. Oh, you have a sister? What you gonna say? So I guess I am the problem. You're right. You are right. I am the problem. And you want to know what? That statement, you're the problem, oh, it used to kill me. It used to feel like a knife in my heart. Like, oh, I am the problem. And it would make me cower. And I put my head down in shame. But now, like, I raise my head up. I'm like, I am the problem. And that's pretty fucking cool, isn't it? Also, like, what is wrong with society that would chime in on something like this? And you know, people say, oh, there's two sides to every story. Yeah, bitch, you don't have time and you don't want to hear the other side of this story, okay? Also, problem. Did you cause the trauma and toxicity? Hello? No, you were born into this toxic family system. Just like Billy Joel said, you didn't start the fire, but it's been burning. It's still burning. But you did not start this fucking fire. You were born into this traumatic, fucking toxic family. And now you're the problem because you don't conform. Okay, I'll take it. I will fucking take it. How fucking myopic and closed-minded of people to think that we should conform, that we're the problem because we've said we don't want to be around our family. And how shitty of society. Like, since when am I the problem for not conforming? Like, why should we conform to their shitty behavior? Why should we have to conform? But it's true. To our family, we are the problem. We have fucked everything up. So how about this? Oh, your whole family doesn't like you? You're the common denominator. I found it so funny when someone actually said that to me, because I'd already thought it. It already went through my head. I'd already cried about it. I'd already cried to my husband that it's me. I'm the common denominator, especially when I was starting to cut out toxic friendships and kind of clean my circle a little bit. I would say to my husband, like, it's me. I'm the problem. Like, I'm the common denominator. All right. So let's talk about that for a second. The common denominator. Let's go to the definition of common denominator, shall we? Let's do it. Okay. So this is comical, right? So according to Google, what does common denominator mean in a relationship? Common denominator is you if you have noticed a pattern of how people behave towards you. In other words, the same things seem to always end up happening to you. The people doing it seem pretty much interchangeable. There is an uncomfortable truth embedded in there that the common denominator is you. First of all, I don't like that Google took it to the uncomfortable truth, really? How the fuck do you know what truth is? Truth? Interesting. So I guess this is where people are getting equipped with, oh, you're the common denominator. So let's break it down. So why is it wrong that if I've noticed a pattern of how people behave towards me and behavior that I'm not okay with, why is it wrong to say that it's wrong? And this is the unknown thing about trauma, right? We've been through some shit growing up in our toxic family. We have accepted things. We have normalized things that people from healthy families can't wrap their heads around. So when we enter the world, when we choose our partners, when we choose friends, even when we're no contact with them, especially if we're still enmeshed with them, we have a tendency to pick the same people, to pick what we know, right? And so then we're attracted to the same people who treated us like our toxic family. But when our eyes are open, we realize our worth, we're setting healthy boundaries. We say no more to emotional abuse or manipulation from our families, and then that carries over into our other relationships. Why is the common denominator such a bad thing? Why? I think it's a healthy perspective. Because here's the thing too, we're constantly evaluating ourselves. Are you with me? I'm constantly questioning myself, constantly like, okay, are you being manipulative? Are you gaslighting? Are you run down the list of everything that was done to me? Are you constantly doing it when it comes to my relationships, when it comes to my kids, when it comes to my marriage, constantly doing it? And so it is also so insulting that these people who have no idea, they just throw this at us, not realizing we're already beating ourselves up. We're already questioning ourselves. So yeah, you are the common denominator. Okay. So just like we grabbed hold of what society throws at us, we're the problem. Okay. Be the problem. You're the common denominator. Okay. I'm the common denominator. You're right. I am the common denominator who looked around my fucking family and said, I am nothing like you. I am actually going rogue now. I'm going rogue, not the common denominator. I think we could easily say our families that stick together and tolerate the bullshit and the nonsense and the toxicity, they are the common denominator. We're the ones that went fucking rogue. Also, it hit me too. You know, someone looking at my reel as I'm explaining my mom and my dad and my brother and my stepmom and just instantly coming at me, like as if the norm these days is in the 1950s and we all have and all come from the nuclear family. Like that is the most archaic mindset that you could possibly have. I don't know what the divorce rate is now, but last time I checked a few years ago, it was 50%. I venture to say it's gone up. I'd venture to say it's even more than that. Also, let's talk about blended families. How many more blended families are there now than there were even in the 70s and the 80s when I was growing up? There weren't a blended family. I mean, there were a few, but they were very rare. So what happens in toxic family systems, okay? This is how it happened on my end, right? So I had two broken and unhealed people who decided to get together and have a baby. Yay, okay? My father, I don't know his story, actually. I think he was the golden child, honestly. I think he was the egocentric golden child because I remember just picking up on nuances in the family that he was the favorite. I could be wrong, but he was emotionally unavailable. He was completely selfish. He couldn't do any wrong. He was a very, very handsome man back in the day. I think his ego was through the roof and it carried with him. Well, he meets my mother, who is completely broken, got married to escape her toxic parents, had a horribly traumatic childhood, has NPD, has BPD, and so they get married. Oh, that's healthy. Yeah. So that's why it didn't last. So then these two people divorce, and they now go into the world. And what do? Because they are unhealed, because they aren't embracing anything, they aren't embracing the generational cycles, the toxicity. They aren't dealing with their unhealed trauma. They go. And with their unhealed selves, they pick more unhealed people to be around. Now, my mom, as far as I know, isn't dating anyone. That's where she is. But my dad picks this fucking enabler. And looking back, so they got married when I was 12, I think. Was I 12? I honestly don't remember when they got married. That's terrible. Whatever. She was in my life for the majority of my life. She would pop in and out of my life. And I remember a season where I would like go to their house and paint murals on their windows. And it was their mirror. And it was like kind of, it was a really beautiful time. And then stupidly, I'd go home and tell my mom about it and how much I loved her. And then of course began the banter of she's disgusting. She'd call her the worst name in the fucking books. Worst name in the book. And again, I realized, oh, I'm not allowed to like her. So then, this is how the cycle just perpetuates and gets fucking disgusting. So I would withdraw, but my father never fought for me either. And so there were years where I just wouldn't see him or talk to him. And I find it shameful on my stepmother's part because first of all, my husband would never, but if he went a day without talking to his daughter, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because the parent is the keeper of the relationship. And so to know that my dad was married to someone, and you guys know, I'm sure you've listened to the episode of how it all went down and how it ended, but for her to not foster. So either, and who knows what it was, right? Who knows what the truth was? Was it my stepmom like pulling him away from me, and did she not foster it? Or was she insecure and couldn't have a relationship with me because of my mom? Like, who knows? I'll never know the fucking truth. But that's when it hit me. I'm like, I have two toxic parties working against each other. So when my mom kicked me out, my dad, who wasn't around, like ever, in and out, swooped in and became the hero. And I was like, oh, this is it. Like, I can finally have a relationship with my dad. And he's not going to be the really fucked up things that my mom always said he was. And no, that turned out not to be true. Turned out that they were actually villains as well. Is that my fault? Is that my fault? Because my stepmother punched me at my daughter's graduation party and then my dad said that I was dead to him. So it's my fault that I refused to allow that kind of behavior. And for someone to say that, that's my fault. Sorry, what? Make it make sense. Make it make sense. So it just hit me as I was reading all of the comments about you told my story. I'm like, wow, yeah. Because when you have this blended family situation, and I'm not sure if my stepmother is a narcissist or she's just an enabler with narcissistic tendencies and just a fucking bitch. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But my mother for sure was a narcissist. So she's running her campaign over here against me. And my father, who now hates me and his wife now hates me, they're running a campaign on the other side. So of course the golden child brother gets stuck in the campaign. He's weak. You think he's going to rise up and say no? You think he's going to fight? No, he's not. So it pisses me off that people could look on, the negative people, the Aunt Susans could look on and say, oh, it's you. You're the problem. You're the common denominator. Like, that pisses me off because, well, it pisses me off that we absorb that negative energy. That's what pisses me off, and I don't want us to do that anymore. But it pisses me off because it's like, you have no idea. You have no fucking idea. We're not dealing with, you know, the Cleavers anymore, where there's just two sets of parents, and I'm just being a bitch right now. Like, clueless, fucking clues. That would be like me going onto a lacrosse story and getting involved with a call that the ref made and thinking I know what I'm fucking talking about. Like, literally, what? Like, stay in your fucking lane. But at the end of the day, none of them matter. The comments don't matter. The comments of the flying monkeys, the comments from the internet trolls, none of that matters. What I care about is what it does to us, because we're still fighting and battling the narrative of our narcissistic mothers, parents, fathers, whatever, toxic siblings, whatever. We're still fighting that narrative. We're still beating ourselves up for going no contact. But what I hope we can get to the place to is take any flame thrown at you and grab it and be like, I guess flame wasn't a good analogy because it's hot. I don't want to grab a flame. Okay, what else could I use? Take any ball thrown at you and grab it and look at it and flip the script. Flip the fucking narrative, because isn't that what we're doing? We are flipping the script. We are normalizing the narrative. Look at it. Boom, you're the problem. Am I? All right. I am the problem to my toxic family because I have fucked up their entire system and it's driving them fucking crazy. You may not think it's driving them crazy. It's driving them crazy. Believe me, it's driving them crazy. Even though you may not think that they care, I don't think my family fucking cares half the time. Why? Because I don't fucking hear from them and nobody tries. But don't think for a second that a controlling, manipulative person who has lost their supply doesn't care. They fucking care. Boom. You're the common denominator. Huh. Am I? Am I the common denominator? Huh. If being the common denominator means that I see toxic and I don't tolerate it, all right. I'm not mad about it. I'll be the common denominator any day of the week. Own it. Own what people throw at you. You are no longer beholden to the things that people have said about you. You are no longer beholden to the things that your family has said about you and to you. They don't have the power anymore. Who has the power? You do. You have the power to take every comment thrown your way, to look at it and say, am I though? This is the thing too. I know for a fact that every single person listening to this podcast who has gone no contact with their toxic families, I know you, and you're sitting in your own shit all the time, wondering what you did wrong, wondering what you do wrong, wondering what you will do wrong, constantly analyzing yourself, constantly analyzing your actions. Because all of us are in therapy. All of us are under the magnifying glass of our own magnifying glass. We're holding up the magnifying glass to ourselves. So like when people come up and go, hey girl, hey, it's you. Maybe you need to take a step back and analyze yourself. Oh, Lord. That's really adorable. And shows that you have no idea who I am or what I've been through. Bless your heart. It's really adorable. That's it, my friends. Do something fun for yourself today. Just, I don't know, do something you wouldn't do, normally do. If you're struggling, if you're feeling down, just know that you're not alone and I'm sending you love and hugs. Join us over on Instagram. I have a really fantastic story for you on Saturday. Her name is Christina, and she is the founder of the clothing line Beautiful Disaster. So I'm so excited for you to hear her story. I mean, talk about empowerment and grabbing hold of things thrown your way and looking at them and saying, I'm going to use this for my good. So it's great. Can't wait for you to hear that. And other than that, that's all I got. You are loved. I'm proud of you. And keep walking. Cheers till next time, friends.